It's a blessing to be here. I thank you all for having me again. I'd like to open up with prayer this morning before we start. So if you can bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the worship, Lord. God, that we can be a part of your heart of worship, God. Lord, we thank you that you are in this place. And we just ask right now, God, that we not just talk about you being here, but Lord, that you manifest your presence. Lord, that your power move in this place. Lord, that your love be tangible in this place, God. Lord, impart into us, Father. Impart into our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord. Hearts to receive the word that you have for your children this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, God, that your word never returns void, but it always accomplishes that which it is sent out for. And so we just stand on your word this morning. We give you all the honor and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time. Yes. This morning, as worship was going on, and I was there on the front row, and I was just thinking about the heart of worship. I was thinking about all that the Lord has really shown me in the heart of worship. And sometimes we look at the worship and the praise as just music, but it's way more than that. It's the heart expressing itself to God. God created worship. And God created us to worship him. And so I just thank you all. I thank the worship team just for being obedient to the Lord. That we can come together corporately like this and know that God is here in our presence and that he moves in our worship. God moves. When we lift up our hands, when we surrender ourselves to him, and we just draw unto God, God moves in our hearts. And today, if the message had a title, it would be Draw Me Away. And I was thinking about what to share with you all, and then I just started thinking about my experience. Some of you know me, some of you do not know me, so I wanted to share a little bit of my testimony this morning about, I'm not sure, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, it was 2007, that I gave my life to the Lord. And when I did, it was an awesome journey that God set me on. And most of you, many of you, know what I'm talking about. When you just surrender yourself and you say, God, have your way with my life. And it's no turning back, it's just going forward. And it's believing that God is real, God has hold of my life, and he's going to have his way with my life. If you open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to talk about a man who, much in the same way, when he gave his life to God, he just went forward. Along this journey, it's been some ups, it's been some downs, it's been mountains, it's been valleys. It's been wonderful seasons where I just feel God's tangible presence, and I know he's there, and it feels like I could just reach out and touch him. And then there's been times where I've felt so, honestly, so dry and asking God, not necessarily asking, but just feel like, God, I know you're here, Lord, but there's times where you may not feel him like you did when you're on that mountain. And through all this, though, God has shown me one thing, that number one, he's always faithful. He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he's always teaching us something. He's always drawing us unto himself. He's always taking us deeper into his presence, even when we don't realize that he's there. And so this morning, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the life that God has given us, that he is drawing us unto himself. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 7. And I hope you like the word, because I like to read the word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Very important. I'd like to stop there. This is a man named Paul who, when God showed himself to Paul, when God revealed himself to Paul, God had changed and transformed his life in a way that he could never be the same. And he's saying here, I want to grab hold of God the way that God has grabbed hold of me. I haven't yet attained it. I haven't yet reached the finish line. I haven't yet apprehended it, he goes on to say. But one thing I do, I want to reach forward. I want to press in and attain that for which Christ Jesus has attained for me. And he goes on to say, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward, verse 14, the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This man named Paul, he was a man who went through a lot of trials, if you've ever heard anything about him. From the time he gave his life to God, he realized that he had a beautiful calling on his life, that God had given him purpose. When you give your life to God, every person, God gives you a purpose. God has a plan for your life. He has a calling for your life. That's why Jesus died for you. That's why God gave you his life, because there is a calling upon you. The greatest calling you could ever have is to know him, a calling to his love, a calling to his intimacy, a calling to understand that God has an identity for you. But in order for you to reach that identity, you have to realize who you are in him. You have to realize that he didn't just come and give himself because he had to, but he came to this world because he loved you. He came to this world because he was bringing us back to himself. He was bringing us back to that first love. God created you for worship. When I gave my life to God, at the very beginning, I didn't understand that. I understand God saved me from hell. I understand that God, there's now laws or there's now rules and things that I got to follow, and I got to be very careful that I will make sure I step right here, make sure I say this or don't say that or do this or don't do that. But as I began to learn who God really was, as I spent time in his word and he began to reveal his love to me and he began to reveal my identity of who I am in his presence, he started to show me that it's not the rules and the regulations that I thought. He started to show me love, real love, compassion, grace, and that it's only by God's grace that we can do anything. Paul says this, and he's a man of great accomplishment. From the time that the Apostle Paul gave his life to the Lord, he wrote most of the New Testament here. A lot of these letters, Paul wrote them. Paul had many people, converts, come to him, and the Lord is still using him. But he says, man, I count all that stuff as rubbish. I count all that, my successes, my accomplishments, even my failures, it doesn't matter. I count all that stuff as rubbish compared to knowing God. The excellence of knowing Christ Jesus, all this other stuff, it doesn't even matter. That I would just know him, that I would know his love, that I would know that relationship. He wasn't about religion. He wasn't about just going through the motions. He says that I could lay hold of God the way that God had laid hold of me, that I could grab onto his love and understand it so much and be able to share it so well with others because it's experience. It's not just about reading about God, it's about knowing God. And he understood that, and that's the message that he brought. And that's why I'm a part of United in Christ. That's why my wife is. That's, I believe, why you're here this morning. Because you don't want to hear Dusty. You don't want to hear a pastor just preaching. You want impartation from God. You want God to speak into your life. And you want him to show you what it is to truly be a Christ follower. And when he reveals himself in that way, he takes you into a deeper love with him. And he takes you into the revelation of that word love. He draws you into his presence. He draws you away from what religion is, and he draws you into a relationship that's real, that's tangible, where you hear his voice, and you can touch his presence, and you can walk into a knowing that God is there. Worship, we were talking about it. Worship is more than just, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Man, there are times where my eyes sweat so bad when I'm in worship because he's given me the revelation of that cross that he endured for me. Because he's given me the revelation that he came to this world because he loved me. That he came to this world because he wanted to renew me to himself. That he prepared for me a place in heaven. That if I would just receive him as my Lord and Savior, it took me a long time to figure that out. But finally, when I did and I just surrendered, God set me on a journey. He gave me a beautiful wife, a wonderful daughter, wonderful family. But even if none of that stuff was there, that I would have him. And he would continue just to draw me and draw me and draw me. That I may attain hold, that I may take hold and attain that which for Christ Jesus attained for me. Turn with me in a Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a very juicy, juicy love story. You can look at it in different lights, in different ways. It's a book of wisdom. It's poetry. But I'm going to speak about it in a way of Christ towards his church. In the Hebrew, it's called Song of Songs because it is the song of all songs. Anywhere you see the word king, we're going to view the king as Jesus. And anywhere you see the word beloved, that's the bride of Christ. That's us. For those who have that relationship with Jesus, that's you. You are the bride of Christ. Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Draw me away. We will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers." There's that word, or that phrase, "draw me away. Draw me away. Draw me away." This morning, I speak to you very personal. I work on a missions field, and I do a lot of outreach. I do a lot of events. I do a lot of things, but I don't love God because of those outreach, because of those events. I love God because it's very personal. I love God because of the intimacy that he shares with me. I love God because past all that stuff, there is one thing. It's the secret place. And here, the bride, the beloved, is crying out, "Draw me away." It's an exclamation mark there. "Draw me away." I can get a lot louder. "Draw me away. Draw me away. Draw me away." When I gave my life to the Lord, that was my prayer without even realizing it. "God, draw me away." I came to him with such a selfish love because I just wanted to get out of what I was in. And I said, "God, draw me away." But the suffering, it didn't matter to him. He was just glad I was there. And he came to me like the father approaching his prodigal son. And he ran after me and he just embraced me and he shared his love with me. Praise God. And as I continued to cry out, "God, draw me away," he started bringing me closer into his heart and bringing me into that passionate relationship. "Draw me away." Very personal. Very personal. Where it's just you and it's just God. It's not the people to your left. It's not the people to your right. It's not anything or anyone else. It's the identity that you are with God. I am his. And his affections are for me. I am God's and his affections are for me. I think about my wife a lot, and she shared this illustration with me. She goes, "You know what? That's kind of like us." I said, "Okay, well, praise God." You know? I love Jesus so much. I love my wife. You know, God has given me a wonderful bride. And, you know, the more I'm with her, the more I want to be with her. The more I'm with her, the more she draws me into a love relationship. The more I'm with her, oh, man, just the deeper our love goes. Because she's from God for my life. And in the same way, we're like the bride of Christ. That the more I'm with him, the more I want to be with him. The more I'm with God, the more I want to cry out, "God, draw me. God, I need you." I said in the beginning that there was, or I said just a minute ago, I came to God with a selfish love. And I said that with reason. You know, in English, we have one word for love, and that's love. I love you, baby. In Spanish, she can speak to me in two ways. She can say, number one, te quiero, which is like, I love you, like a friendship love. Or she can say, te amo, which is an intimate love. It's like a father-son, mother-daughter, husband-wife love, te amo. But in the Greek, there's three words for love. And I say Greek because the New Testament is written in the Greek. The first word is a lowly form of love. It's eros. It's a love that is self-seeking. It's what I was talking about when I came to God. I was at, what can I get out of this type of relationship? Then there's phileo, which is the highest form of human love. It's a love that responds to love. I love God because he first loved me. And then there's the agape love, which is the love that Jesus has for me. It's unconditional. It's sacrificial. It's outgoing. It has no condition to it. God embraced the cross. Jesus came to this world, and he gave himself for us with an agape love. He came, and he gave himself for me, and he bore the cross and the nails, and he was whipped, and he was persecuted, and he was beaten and spit on, and his beard was torn out, and I could go on and on. Because he had an agape love for me. Because he had that unconditional, self-sacrificing love for me. And when I gave my life to God, even though I came with him, to him with an eros love, he drew me in, drew me away. And he turned my love into a deeper love. And he started showing me how to love. He started showing me how to give myself to others. That I was like me and Josh were talking, I was like the cup that God was filling. And he was pouring over, and he could pour into his people, that you would be that kind of person, that as you allow God to reveal his love to you, you will be like that cup that God, as he pours into you, he starts filling you, and he shows you, and he reveals to you how to love others, how to be that Christ follower that others see. The second part to this is, and we will run after you. And we will run after you. Lord, we will run after you. It's a commitment, a consecration. Everybody say consecration. Are you still awake? Everybody say consecration. Say, I want to be consecrated. What did I just say? It's just a big word. I don't know. Praise God. The word consecrate means set apart. I want to be set apart. You say, draw me, Lord, bring me into your love, bring me into your presence, bring me into your affection. Show me. I don't just want to know about worship. Show me, God, how to worship you. And then he says, all right, well, now it's time for a consecration. Set yourself apart. That's what God calls of us, that we would be set apart. That's how this world knows that we are different, because we are set apart. You know, we go into these places where you have the different houses that you saw that were made out of pallets and made out of wood and things, and we go in there and they know we're not like just somebody, and it's not because I'm white, it's because I carry something about myself, because I carry this love of God. See, I've set myself apart, I've consecrated myself unto God, and when I go somewhere, there's something that people know is different. And I say me, but I speak for all of us. I personalize my message. This is what God shows me in my devotion. So it's kind of like, all about me, Jesus, but it's us. That when we go into places, that we stand out in a way that this world knows we're separate from other people. This world knows we're separate. The world tries to find its identity in things. The world tries to find its identity in other people and whatever's on TV and what's popular and different clothes to wear and different ways that people act or whatever it may be, the speech, the groups. Whatever it may be. But when you realize your identity is in Christ, and you say, we will run after thee, we will run after you, and you go after him. So as you're drawing closer, the Bible says, you draw unto me, and I will draw unto you. God draws unto you, and you go forth, and as God moves closer, it says the ground he walks on is holy ground. So you start to walk in that ground of God, and you start to walk on that holy ground, and all of a sudden you come up to somebody that you may not have known needed Jesus, and you just start sharing, hey, how you doing? God bless you. You know, my name is Josh Johnson, and you just start sharing your life or whatever. You know, hey, could I give you such and such to eat today? And somebody can see a light from you. A light that's shining. It's not because you're in Mexico in the missions field. It's because you're in the missions field of your workplace and you're being the Christ follower that he's called you to be. Dusty, the missionary. Meemaw, the missionary. That's my grandma, for those who don't know. Whoever you are a missionary with where you're at. That you draw unto God, we will run after you, and you allow him to embrace you, and you allow him to change you and transform you, where it's no longer I who live, it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. It comes to a point that the circumstances don't matter. Remember that guy, Paul? He says, all these things are rubbish. I can count it all loss. If you read on, he's been shipwrecked, he's been whipped, he's been stoned, he's been persecuted, his brothers betrayed him, his brothers in Christ betrayed him, but in all these things, he says, I count it all loss that I may know you, Lord. We would draw unto him, and he takes us away. Whether you are in the mountain or in the valley, you are on the missions field just worshiping God and bringing people unto him, or you're in your house. And you're crying out to God, and you're saying, God, I have not felt you in a long time, Lord. I keep worshiping you, and I keep praising you, God, but I just haven't felt your presence in a long time. Lord, I know you're real, and I know that your presence is real, and I just want you, Jesus. And you're crying out to him, and you're going through one of those seasons where you're just crying out. You're saying, God, draw me unto you. God, draw me unto you. And he's not, you can't hear anything, and you can't see anything. And in the presence that you felt, it's like God withdrew himself for you. And you're like, God, where are you at? But he's right there. He's right there. If you continue to read the Song of Solomon, you see the beloved at some points was so fixated on the blessings that came from God that she lost track of God, of the king. And when the king withdrew himself a little, he wasn't depriving her just to deprive her, but he's saying, I want you to know that your love isn't in that stuff. Your love's in me. Your love isn't in the things. It's not in the blessings. It's not even in the ministry. It's in me. Your love is for me. And no matter how you felt depraved or how you felt hurt or how, any of these things, God does not do anything without purpose. He's bringing you. He's saying, come on, come, keep coming, keep coming. And I told God, I said, I will run after you. So you know what I do? I keep coming. And I said, God, none of this stuff matters. It's what you do. God, none of this stuff matters. Going after you, Lord. Going after you. And then it brings you to that beautiful, beautiful place. The king has brought me into his chambers. I felt like I let you down, God. I felt like I hurt you. God, I haven't felt your presence for a while, and so I just kind of stepped away a little bit, Lord. God, there's no way I could do these things. God, I don't feel worthy anymore. Come into my chambers, the Lord says. How many of you have heard of Peter, the disciple Peter? Peter, he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, even if I have to die for you, to die with you, I'll never deny you. And then came the time. Jesus was crucified, and the men came to Peter, and they said, Peter, do you know Jesus? Weren't you one of his followers? And he said, no, I don't know Jesus. No, three times he denied Jesus. And he felt so ashamed and so unworthy. But when Jesus came back to him, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord. Yeah, I love you. No, Peter, do you love me? Jesus, yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? And he started showing him that agape love. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Jesus, you know all things. You know I love you, Jesus. And he started restoring him. And he brought him into his chambers. He brought him into that place of intimacy, the place of secrecy, the place where it's just him and Peter. And those things, maybe you've messed up, maybe I've messed up, and we've done things that we felt like so unworthy or so ashamed. But Jesus is like, do you love me? Because if you love me, you'll let me restore you. If you love me, you'll let me lead you. If you love me, you'll listen to my voice. Do you love me? Lord, draw me away. I will come after you. He's taken me into his chambers. A walk of perseverance to find that deeper calling in the Lord, that we would come away with him. It's a calling, not to ministry. It's a calling, not to Mexico. It's a calling to Jesus. And this morning, that's kind of what I want to bring to you, is to know that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, to give you dove's eyes for him. I say dove's eyes because the eagle can see even behind it in any direction, but dove's eyes can only see what's right in front of it. And sometimes we have so much going on in life and so much going on, even me in ministry. I tell you, I have to get my wife to remind me sometimes. I can get so caught up in ministry and doing and being a part of different things and outreaches and events that the one thing, the true love, that the reason I'm all there is kind of set on a shelf. She's like, honey, spending time with the Lord? Because you can burn out so easy if you don't spend time with Jesus. Draw me into those dove's eyes to where I see Jesus and nothing else matters. Paul said, I count everything lost compared to knowing you, Lord. My identity is in you, God. My calling is in you, Lord. My purpose is in you and unto you, Father. You give me identity. You give me purpose in this life. Nothing and no one else. Amen. When God shows us, and I'll end with this. When God shows us his agape love, Peter thought he was capable of an agape love. And he said, God, I will die with you. Whatever it takes, Lord, I will never deny you. But he was shown that he didn't have that agape love. It was speaking in flesh and what he can do, what he can attain. But when Jesus came to him after he was crucified and then he ascended, and he came to Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he started restoring him. He took him from that regular love and he brought him into what agape love really was. It's the love that we can only share when we are with Christ. It's the love that we can only share when we have spent time with him in his presence. All these outreaches, these events, these places that we go to, we're not just building buildings, but we're building lives for the Lord. We're teaching people what love of God looks like. Amelia Community Church is not just talking about, oh, well, Christ this and Christ that, but you're showing people what Christ looks like. Because God is imparting an agape love. He's imparting identity. He's imparting more than just doing. He's imparting being. I want to end with the scripture, and I'm sorry I didn't give it to you. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. He didn't say you will do witnessing. He said you will be my witnesses. He didn't say, Paul, you will do all these things. Peter, you will do all these things. He said, you will be mine. When you're being, it's not just doing. When you're being, it's taking identity upon yourself. When you're being, it's not about anything but knowing who you are in God. It's identity. When I am being, wherever I go, I'm affecting people for Christ because I'm being Christ to this world. When I'm being, I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to show anything. It flows. It just comes. Praise God. I could talk with you and you can hear Jesus. I could talk with you and you could see Jesus. I could pray with you and you could feel Jesus because it's nothing fake about it. It's genuine. It's identity. It's being. It's God taking you from eros, lowly, what can I get out of this, to God, I love you. This is agape. This is what I give you. This is unconditional. God, I want to attain. I want to grab hold of you, Lord, the way you've grabbed hold of me, God. And there's no turning back. There's no turning back. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. I apologize if I get too loud. But there's nowhere else I would rather be for God than in his presence, than being his. I don't do church. I am the church. You don't do church. You are to be the church to your community, to your family, to your workplace. You are to be his. I am God's, and his affection is towards me. Being. God, draw me away. Take me. I am yours. I am yours. And I want to end right now. We're going to pray, and we're going to invite the worship team to come back up. And as we get started in prayer, I want to share with you all, again, to reaffirm that it's not about the music. It's about the heart. And if you could just, at this time, just set yourself apart. Set your mind, just get rid of all the thoughts, all the things, and just set your mind on the Lord and say, God, Lord, at this time I want you, Father, to show me what it is, that agape love, to impart in me, God, that love. Lord, that I would be taking upon myself that identity. To be a witness. To be the person that God has called us to be. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you that you have called us unto yourself as a bride unto the groom, Lord, that you have called us unto you, Lord. We thank you that as you draw us into your presence, God, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, and that your calling upon our lives is irrevocable, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have given us such a beautiful place, a beautiful name, a beautiful identity, Lord. And I just pray in the name of Jesus over every person here, God, that you affirm and reaffirm the calling upon our lives as your children. Lord, that your love is tangible, God, and that we would experience that it would not just be doing, but it would be being, Father. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that your witness would rise up in us, that your Holy Spirit would rise up in your children, God. And you would take us to that secret place of intimacy, Lord, where you are the potter and we are the clay, and that you could just have your way with our lives. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, Father. Our minds, that you would take our minds and you would give us your mind. Lord, that you would take our hearts, our desires, our affections. And Lord, that you would take them and draw us into what you desire. That would be what we desire, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for agape love. And Lord, I ask over every mind that, Lord, you would give us the revelation of your cross, God. That we wouldn't be around the cross, but we would be at the foot of the cross. And that we wouldn't be around the throne, but we would go to the feet of your throne, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all honor, all glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray.